Good evening to everyone. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Seem to be at a little bit of a disadvantage from that great message that was presented this morning. So you guys want to bear with me. I'll be before you just to present a simple gospel message. Matthew chapter 16. Starting at verse number 13, it says, "When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' So they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered and said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.' Then he commanded the disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ." Pray with me. God, we're so honored and grateful, Lord God, to share in your word, Lord God, and your fellowship, Lord. And we pray, Lord God, that you would speak to our hearts, dear God, that we may be edified and you may be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Man, you guys are quiet. Matthew chapter 16. Now, I want to talk about the subject of Christian identity. Christian identity. Who or what do we identify with? I'm going to talk about three different subjects, three different points in this particular message. I'm going to talk about identifying Jesus. My next point will be identifying with Jesus. And my final point will be finding our identity in Jesus. Now, this is the basis of all life. This simple question: who do you say that I am? Of course, I'm not referring to myself, but I'm referring to God, because he asked the question. He said, "Who do men say that I am?" And the response was, some say John the Baptist, some say prophet or Elijah or one of the other prophets. But Jesus, I like what he did there. He said, he made it personal, and he said, "Who do you say that I am?" Remember, he's directing this specifically to him, those that would follow him. If we are to follow God, we have to know who he is. They that seek him must know that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So we must understand that he is God, and he is our creator, and he is the source of all that we are. We must know him. He is God, because the word declares, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." That's a very familiar passage to most of us. But a lot of the times these things become cliche. Do we realize that he is? Do we realize the power that he possesses? He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me." All. Ken this morning was stressing that word all. And what does all mean? What does all mean in Greek? All means all. He owns everything. He is the creator of everything. The Bible says it is so amazing when I'm thinking about the wonders of creation, and God formed it with His very hands. The scripture says He fashioned the stars. He set the stars in their place and He called each one by name. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the details of creation, even the details of our own nature? You think about DNA and all the atoms and all the complexities that make up everything that we are. And God made it all. Not only has He made it all, but He sustains it all, the Bible says, through the word of His power. By His wisdom, the heavens were made and they were established from the beginning. He is God. The scripture says, from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. He is the eternal, the self-existent, the all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing God. The scripture calls Him the God of all flesh. And not only is He all powerful, but He is all loving. He says in the scripture, every bird in the mountains I know. It's amazing. And all the beasts of the field are mine. I created them all. Job said, in His hand is the life of every living creature and the breath of all mankind. He is the source of all. He is God. And this same God became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We saw His glory. We saw Him in person. Now, I don't mean we literally saw Him, but He was flesh. He dwells among this earth. He dwelled among people. People were able to touch Him. People were able to eat with Him. People were able to hug Him and embrace Him. He was God. Though He was God. This all-powerful God. Knowing the evil of man, decided to do something about it. Genesis said when by the time that sin has so corrupted the earth and every man, that He said every thought and intent of his heart was only evil continually. Jeremiah tells us that our hearts are desperately wicked, even beyond comprehension. The wickedness and the rebellious of man is so prevalent. And we see it not only in our society, but we see it within ourselves. But this all-powerful God, who had every right to destroy us and allow our souls to be eternally, to dwell in that eternal fire, He went in another direction, and I have to thank God for that. He decided to spare us. He decided now we can identify with Him. Though He knows no sin, He became sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in Him. He is completely pure and holy and completely above sin, and yet He made a way that we can identify Him as evil and wretched and sinful as we are. He did that. He made us. He established us in righteousness even before we were created. He is God. That's the love that He has for us. That's the God that we know. That's the God that we can talk to every moment of our lives. That's the God that gives us our very breath. That's the God that knows every beat of our heart and numbered every hair on our head. That's that God. That's who He is. That's Jesus. That's the Lord. That's the one we call King. That's the one that we worship. And that's why we worship Him. If we're worshiping Him for any other reason than the fact that He is, and He absolutely deserves it. That's why we're here. That's why we exist, to worship Him and to be identified with our great Creator. You consider these things, they're just so amazing. You ever took the time to ponder this? The fact that God is, and the fact that He looked upon you? Somebody says if you were the only one here, He still would have came. That's God. That's amazing. So we find our identity in Him. So we know who He is and we understand who He is. And this is what drives us. This is what motivates us to come together. This is what motivates us to obey Him and live for Him and serve Him and give our lives for Him. The more we know Him, the better we're able to serve Him. So if you don't know Him, get to know Him. To know Him is to love Him. To love Him is to keep His commandments. Because we can't call Him Lord otherwise. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things in which I command?" See, anybody can speak of God. Anybody can talk about Him. Anybody can say His name. Anybody can preach. But how many people know Him for who He is? How many people have seen His work in their hearts? How many people have been brought back from the pit by His power and His love and the power of His word? How many people are grateful to be here today? How many of us don't take these things for granted because tomorrow is not promised? None of us was promised to be here. God didn't have to give us this day, but He did, because He's gracious and He loves us. So every day we strive to identify with Him. We identify with Jesus because we are His. In John chapter 15, He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you." We belong to Him. All things belong to Him, whether we believe or not. All souls are mine, the soul of the Father as well as the Son. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, all that live upon it. And like I said before, the beasts of the field are mine. Everything belongs to Him. It's just a matter of, are we willing to get to know Him? He gives us an open invitation. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, and you will find rest for your soul, for I am meek and gentle and lowly at heart. He who is thirsty, come to me and drink. For I carry the fountains of living water. He is the bread of life. There is no life outside of Him. Apart from me," He says, "you can do nothing." So understand that whether you believe, whether you have accepted, obeyed Him, you belong to Him. And since that you belong to Him, if you refuse to obey Him, you're still going to have to give an account. So why not obey Him? Ken mentions this morning how He's going to bring everything under judgment, even the good and the evil. So the conclusion of the matter is to fear God and keep His commandments, because this is our whole duty. And that's all He requires of us. It can be challenging and difficult at times, absolutely. But I think the more that we embrace it and the more that we understand who He is, it becomes better for us. And we can experience that joy, inexpressible and full of glory, that peace that passes all understanding. That's your fruit, and we can bear the fruit in which He calls us to bear. So we identify Him because we belong to Him. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. It's not for man that lives upon earth to plan his own way. He orders the steps of a righteous man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and shun evil. This is health to your body and nourishment to your bones. This is God's Word. He says in Isaiah, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than yours." So if we're going to identify with Jesus, we have to stop thinking. We have to start thinking as He requires of us. We have to renew our minds with the Word of God. We have to meditate day and night. We have to devote ourselves to prayer and study. These are the basic principles of Christianity, but sometimes they become so cliche. But I believe if we truly discover who God is, these things will give us the joy. That's where the joy comes from. Because there's no way. No way, no how, that God could have given us life, but He did. Like I was saying, He had every right to destroy us, but He didn't. He spared us. He spared us for His name's sake, for His glory. And so we live for Him. Paul said, "To live is Christ and to die is gain." And it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. The Scripture says, Christ who is our life. If our life is not in Christ, then we have no life. For those of us, and all of us are exposed to the world and the elements and everything around us. And speaking personally, I get so weary of this world. Like the song says, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. The Bible says that we are pilgrims and sojourners. And there's a way in which we are to live. It's almost like we're pitching tents. We don't have a permanent dwelling here. Our permanent dwelling is in eternity with God. And that's the way we live our lives. And that kind of life says that we identify with Jesus, because that's how He lived. He said, "Who named the name of Christ ought to walk as He walked." He was in the world, but He not of the world. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my subjects would fight for me. But my kingdom is from above." And we, those of us who identify with Jesus, we are a part of that kingdom. That's something to celebrate. That's something to get excited about. We'll be going home soon. I really believe that. I really believe that. So we belong to Him. So we, since we belong to Him, we find our identity in Him. He makes us new. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. The scripture says, when you rise in baptism, you get up and rise in newness of life. Is your life distinct from those around you? It should be. Do people notice the difference in you? They should. Peter says, be prepared to give an answer for the hope that's in you. Listen, the implication is that they're going to ask, and they will. Are we prepared to tell them that, look, I identify with Jesus. He's my King. He's my Lord. He's my best friend. He's my God. He's the one who created me, who sustains me. He is my all in all. Are you ready to tell them that when they ask? You might get a few strange looks. They may even get mad at you. So what? But God said, listen, you identify with me. So the hope that's in us is Jesus. Paul said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. You have a glorious hope, an eternal hope, an incorruptible hope that cannot be touched. The scripture says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. I just read that. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. No weapon formed you shall prosper. You are more than conquerors in Him. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. You have nothing to worry about. So let's stand for our Lord. Let's live a life that says, hey, you remember in Acts when they talked about the disciples, they were running around and they say, you know, they knew that they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they knew they'd been with Jesus. Can people say that about us? I would hope so. I would think that, and I would love to say that people that see me and know me every day know. Not that I'm perfect and I have it all together, but that I've been with Jesus. That I know Him and I love Him. And I seek to honor Him with my life. I want people to see that. That's the only thing that matters to me. So, we are new because of Him. Old things have passed away. So those old thoughts, those old carnal ways and ideologies and things that we used to identify with, we can get rid of those things. We can allow this Word to get in us. The Bible says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Push out all of that old stuff. Those idols that you previously identified with. You have a new identity. His name is Jesus. He is your King, your Lord, your Master, your friend, your physician, your counselor. He's all. He's your very breath. He's the very reason that you exist. You worship. It's to Him alone. He is God. Your Creator. Our Creator. So we are new. So we are new. Brand new. And each and every day, the Bible says, Jeremiah says, his mercies are new every morning. And great is His faithfulness. And He is faithful to change your heart as long as you cling to His Word. He is faithful to help you establish your identity in Him. He says, when we are faithless, He remains faithful. Why? Because He cannot deny Himself. So He is faithfully committed to our sanctification. He is faithfully committed to our joy, our peace. He says He is our peace. The joy of the Lord is our strength. He searches the earth to and fro to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards Him. Towards Him. He is. So if you get another day, if you have another moment, give it to the Lord. He's the only one that deserves it. You remember back when you were running your own life? I can look back and I didn't know at the time, but I was quite miserable. Extremely. But that's what sin does. That's what being separated from God does. And most of the people around us, they're living in misery and they don't know it. That's why Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men." That's why He says, "You're the salt of the earth." Share the grace of God with others. Share your new identity with others. Perhaps they will be drawn and desire to identify with God themselves. But that's the way to live. If we know God and we want to identify with Him. Description, Paul said, we make it our aim to be fully pleasing to Him in every way. This is Scripture. I'm not making this stuff up. Y'all can look it up. I might be good at quoting it, but it's in there. But because it even says there's benefits. The Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, He makes even his enemies to be at peace with Him. It's amazing what God will do when we commit ourselves to Him. I could speak over these past few years. It'll be 3 years in June that I've been here, and I've managed to see so much in terms of how God working in my life and working in you all's life. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful for the family of God who have surrounded me, who have shown the love of God. I'm just so grateful. My life will and should reflect His glory. Our lives should and will reflect His glory. Columbus Street Church of Christ should and will reflect His glory in this community and in our individual communities. All we have to do is live. All we have to do is give our hearts to Him. And He will take us to places that we've never been. He already seated us in the heavenly places with Him. And He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the high places. And He has placed us above all principalities and powers. We've been studying that in Ephesians. He calls us sons. And we inherit the kingdom of God. This is how the world will know that you are my disciples, your love one for another. Demonstrate among one another and among those on the outside that they may come and know this Jesus. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. You guys are way too quiet. But it's just an amazing thing. Salvation is just so amazing. It's kind of hard. It's a hard thing to keep to yourself. I find it more and more hard every day to keep salvation to myself. That the fact that God, the God of the universe, is working in my heart and working in my life, and I can see it literally. It's right there in the Word of God. When you open up this Word, you see how God is working in your life and the life of those around you. Open up the Word. Identify with God. It's the only life to live. And understand this, and like I said before, and I won't sugarcoat it. Listen, you're miserable if you don't know God. Whether you know it or not, if you have not obeyed the gospel, you are living in misery. You are hopeless and helpless, and you will be lost forever. Why would you not want to know this God that loves you so much, that left the glories of heaven to come down? Not only did He leave the glories of heaven, but He gave His very life, the pain and the torture and the torment and all of those things He experienced were for you, for us, that we might have an opportunity to identify with Him. Can we do this today? If you have need at this time, come forth as we stand.